It's made crystal clear there in that wording. This is not just some human rescuer that's going to come in and liberate you from the Roman people, but this is to be the Son of God who's going to come and change everything. This is wonderful news. God uses humble people to do glorious things. Though she's a virgin, she's going to conceive a baby. His name is going to be Jesus. Jesus, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua, which talks of God being a Savior. He's going to assume the throne of the Messiah. He's going to establish this new kingdom of peace that's never going to fade away. He's going to become the great, holy Son of God. This is big. This is glorious news. No amount of, you know, the truth is sometimes we hear this story so often and we kind of see it in the school play or in the Hillview children's play, and we hear it so often that sometimes it can kind of become familiar and lose some of its impact. But no amount of retelling of this story should ever steal the wonder from us of what's going on here. And Mary quite rightly asks, how can this be? How can this come to pass? Well, Luke doesn't give us all the details, but she's told two things. In verse 35, she's told that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. It's the exact same phrase. As you remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus had died and had risen from the dead, and the disciples were waiting for the full establishment of his reign to come in. And Jesus said to his disciples, don't go from Jerusalem, but stay here and wait, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Exact same phrase. The Holy Spirit's going to come. The power of God is going to come into your life. And then she's also told that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. This word overshadow is a really important word in the Bible. It's used in reference to God's presence, God's protection. It's used with reference to the transfiguration. Do you remember when Jesus was standing there in Matthew chapter 17 and he was presented in this glorified state? Let me read it just so we get a sense of what this word overshadowed mean. Matthew 17 verse 2, Jesus was transfigured. He was transformed before them and his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. Verse 5, he was still speaking when God was speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And listen to the response of the disciples when this bright cloud, it's mysterious, isn't it? A bright cloud? We normally think of dark clouds, but this bright cloud shines. And listen to what happens. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. So this sense of the overshadowing, the presence of God, the power of God is going to come over Mary in the same way as happened later in Jesus' ministry. God was at work in this most powerful and mysterious ways. I read a great quote from a commentator called Donald Miller who wrote this. He said, the cloud of God's glory in the Old Testament made his presence visible to men, yet at the same time hid him from the eyes of men and preserved the mystery of his being. It both revealed God and concealed him. In the same way, the birth of Jesus is the mysterious event whereby God revealed himself in a creative act whose nature is totally hidden from us. It calls for worship, not explanations. So don't get caught up on how does all this work. The reality here is that we are to come with a heart of worship as we consider this. The power of God overshadowed Mary, and this beautiful moment came to pass where divinity and humanity met in this remarkable, unique moment. David Crowder has an album called A Beautiful Collision, where he's talking about this is the Christian life. We live in this place of beautiful mystery where divinity and humanity come into contact every day in our hearts, in our lives, as we walk through this world. Friends, God uses humble people to do glorious things. Glorious things. Is this on our mind? Are we conscious of this, that God works through people like us in the most wonderful and amazing ways? Now, to be sure, this was a one-off moment in history. This was a unique and marvelous moment beyond words. But the same Holy Spirit who empowered and overshadowed Mary is the same Holy Spirit who, you know, empowers us and fills us. So yes, we're to be a humble people. But we need to remember that God takes humble people and uses us. He works through us, the living God. It's amazing. It's amazing. Are we asking God to use us for his purposes, or are we just willing to settle by life of easy comfort? Are we conscious that God can use us in the most amazing ways? As we close, I just want to ask about the response of Mary. Her response is amazing. You can imagine a little bit, I think, of how she must have felt in that moment. You know, as this incredible news is shared with her. And I don't know about you, but try and think back to what you were like as a teenager. I was a pain for my mom and dad as a teenager. You know, teenagers do stuff like when they're told big news or important news, sometimes they grunt. Sometimes they kind of punch the wall. Sometimes they say things like, this was my favorite phrase that would come over and over again, I don't see what the problem is. I don't see what the problem is. You know, as I was told off for doing something wrong, I don't see what the problem, you know, this became a bit of a joke in my house with my friends because they always heard me saying to my dad, I don't see what the problem is. Or denial, right? Teenagers, you know, I don't think so. This isn't going to happen to me. You know, or whatever the reaction might be. And you consider this news that Mary is hearing at this young age. She was intellectually baffled. She's asking, what? How does this make sense? This isn't what I've heard in my, you know, social education class, you know, at school. And we always have to remember as well that this news had huge social implications for Mary. There was every chance that Joseph could have reacted badly. You know, understatement of the world, right? Imagine your fiancé ends up pregnant and comes and shares the news with you and uses the story of what's just happened. You know, it's probably one of the reasons why Joseph got a visit from the angel as well, just to reassure him, no, honestly, it is true. Your fiancé has not been off misbehaving, but, you know, she's had this important message from God. I mean, can you imagine how people would have talked about them? Uh-huh. Yeah, the teenage, you know, fiancé is pregnant and Joseph says it's not his. What on earth? You know, but it would not have just caused idle chatter like it would today. But they would have been facing the complete loss of reputation in that culture, or even worse. There's every chance that Mary could have faced the death penalty if people had presumed that she'd been unfaithful to Joseph, right? So you've got some incredible news that Mary has to grapple with. Two times in this passage, she opens her mouth. The first time, in verse 34, she inquires, how will this happen? Interestingly, not like Zechariah, who last week says, this can't happen. This can't come to pass. And God's not happy with Zechariah's response. Mary asks the question, how? It's a different response. That's the first time she opens her mouth. And then in verse 38, Mary said, after this amazing news, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is staggering. Time and time again, friends, in the book of Luke, we're going to see that Luke has a special plan. One of the things that Luke does is to lift up the role of women. In this world where women were not seen as important, Luke is going to make clear time and time again some of the most impressive things that come out of people's mouths in this Gospel of Luke come out of the mouths of women. And Mary just says here, behold, I don't get it, don't understand, I'm frightened, I don't know what's going to happen, what's Joseph going to think, what's the community going to think, but God, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. The question for us is obvious. Are we willing to come with that same heart before God? God has glorious plans for us. Plans to use humble people in his work. But those plans are going to cost us. They're going to cost us. We were sharing on Alpha on Tuesday night. We were reading from Romans chapter 8. It talks about a sharing in the glories of Jesus. And then we talked about that little verse that's added on. You know, that we might share in the glory of Jesus if we also share in his sufferings. And someone said, what's that bit about suffering? And we had to talk about the reality of a Christian life is a life of taking up our cross, denying ourselves, following Jesus, just like Mary had to do, in a costly way. We have to ask as we come before God and as we, you know, we hear news of, oh, God wants to use me in powerful ways to do glorious things. That's exciting. And then we consider the reality. What is that going to cost us? It's going to cost us our money and our time, our reputation. It might cost us some relationships. What if people talk? What if it embarrasses me? What if God's calling me to another part of the world and it's going to endanger my life? Mary, in that moment, hard as it was, just said, behold, God, I know that I am your servant. I know, yes, you're going to lift me up. Yes, you're going to use me in the most wonderful ways. Yes, this is going to be a glorious and precious privilege. But I'm your servant. Take with me. Use me. Use me as you wish for your purposes. Friends, may it be that we come before God with the same heart. Yes, it's going to be hard. But Father God, would you use me, your humble servant? Would you lift me up and exalt me as you do that? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you use humble people to do glorious things. We thank you for Mary. Thank you for this wonderful example to us this morning. We thank you that though this hard and difficult to understand news was thrown at her, she had that heart to just have open hands and an open heart and just say, Father God, I'm yours. Would you just use me in whatever way you can? And I pray that you would use us in the same way, God. I pray that you would use us as humble people. Lord, we know that we are not of high background. We're nothing special apart from you. We've got no good thing. But we thank you that you take humble people like us and you lift us up. You exalt us. You use us in glorious and special ways. We thank you for the ways that you've used the boys and girls this morning in your work to speak to us. We thank you for the way that you can use every single person here if we come with the right heart. So give us that disposition now, we pray. We humble ourselves before you, Holy God, Prince of Peace, God with us, Emmanuel. We worship you this morning. Our King of Kings, we want to bow before you now. And in the coming days, we pray. Amen.